If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
In Ukraine, the murderous Russian strongman Vladimir Putin, Vlad the would-be impaler, writes our friend Charles Lipson, continues his murderous rampage, and people are dying in that war of his. It is a crisis where all interests push their interests forward. And don't forget what Mayor Rahm Emanuel said about crisis. You never want a serious crisis to go to waste. And what I mean by that is an opportunity to do things that you could not do before. So President Joe Biden, his poll numbers dropping, signals his minions of the idiocracy to use this crisis to portray his critics as traitorous Putin-loving stooges. And so, since I'm a critic, my patriotism is called into question simply because I don't want this to escalate, since there are nuclear weapons at the edge of it. And I want people to think clearly and not with emotion, but with cold logic. Yet with so much focus on Ukraine, local politicians don't want this crisis to go to waste either, and they breathe a sigh of relief that media is looking away from their policies to focus on Ukraine and Russia. Like Governor Pritzker and Mayor Lori Lightfoot, the blue state lockdown artists and killers of small businesses. Clearly they haven't understood American history. Perhaps they didn't really read it, because they portray themselves as they're giving us our liberty from COVID masks, even though school kids are still masked, and they reserve the right to take that liberty away if needs be. It's as if they've usurped God and the liberty God has given us. Speaking of wars, there's another war here in Chicago, too, that doesn't get enough coverage. In Chicago, on the streets, every day, where young people are killed, politicians and media that support them call this gun violence. But that just gives politicians cover. What it really is street gang wars. And the police are demoralized and exhausted, and taxpayers too, and businesses too, and they flee. And now there's a new heater case, Yolanda Gate. Mootsa to the mayor, writes reader Tom Winicky, for sweeping her Yolanda Gate scandal under the City Hall carpets. A convicted felon was riding in a Lexus issued to Chicago Police Department Chief of Internal Affairs, Yolanda Talley. And woke bureaucrats and media are using Rahm Emanuel tactics to bury the story. Nah! Today we're going to be talking to Southwest Side Alderman Raymond Lopez about Lightfoot losing council support, Yolanda Gate, and what about his jihad against Dibs? Ray, I really thought only commies hated Dibs. Come on, Ray. A2, Ray Lopez. WGN executive producer Jeff Carlin is here as always. Mr. Science, lover of cats, husband to Christine, and my friend. And I'm John Cass of your favorite website for common sense opinion and analysis, JohnCassNews.com. And you know what? I think I might be getting a billboard, but more on that later. And remember that if you want to sponsor this podcast, just email us at John@JohnCassNews.com and type sponsorship into the subject line of your email. And where are you with Alderman Lopez defending his anti-Jibs jihad and commenting about Yolanda Gate, and Jeff Carlin making pies that I cannot eat, and around us all, the barking dogs of politics? You're here with us, your trusty guides on this dangerous pathway, the Chicago Way Podcast on WGN Plus.
Look, the Chicago Way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
It's the Chicago Way.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
Joining us, as promised, Alderman Ray Lopez of the 15th Ward, pride of the Southwest Side, who may not be the most physically imposing presence, but I've seen his back straight when he confronted the gangs in his neighborhood. I was watching him do it, and I'll never forget it, because a lot of politicians talk tough, Ray, like Joe Biden, you know, but few actually demonstrate it when there's no cameras around. So welcome to the Chicago, Ray, Alderman Lopez.
John, I'm glad to be here, short and mighty as I may be.
Well, we do have to get into the Yolanda Gate story, which is the story of the Chicago Police Department Internal Affairs Chief and that car and the heroin and who's doing what to who. But first, I have to ask you, as a Southwest Sider, what is with your jihad on dibs, my friend? I thought only commies did that. What's going on?
Well, I understand dibs, but I don't understand dibs when there's no snow. I don't understand dibs when it's 50 degrees out or when it's Memorial Day weekend. And I think all I wanted for our communities was to hit the reset button and start using some common sense when it comes to dibs. If you shoveled your spot out after a blizzard, I get it. But if it's been 3 weeks and the snow's gone, it's time to pack it up. And that was what was the impetus for my dibs issue in the beginning of February, because I was getting a lot of complaints to the ward office. People were stopping me on my own block, complaining about the endless amount of buckets, cones, broken chairs, bird feeders, and baby strollers out on the curb when there was no reason for it.
Yeah, I agree. The dibstitution is clear, everybody. And I'm the keeper of the sacred souls, scrolls. When you can drive over the snow, there's no dibs.
Yes, sir.
And the only people that do dibs in the summer are the Italians in Chinatown. Okay? That's all I'm saying. when you see, you know, one guy sitting on have legs up on another chair and
but that's the
arms
valet
on either chair. What?
But that's the valet guy, so I can't be mad at that one.
No dibs when it's warm out. No dibs only when snow.
Right, and Ray. What are the complaints like? Because I mean, I was expecting it to be go the other way. People complaining about moving their dibs or not, you know, not having a spot that they shoveled out taken away. I mean, are people just complaining because they don't like the crap on the streets, or are they just saying, "Well, I can't park because someone else has carved out a spot"?
You know what causes a lot of the complaints when we're in these situations with dibs isn't so much that somebody put dibs in front of their house. It's when people start claiming spots in front of other people's homes. When John Q taxpayer comes home and sees somebody put a broken chair in front of his house and now he's got nowhere to park. Or when people see one family trying to monopolize all the parking by putting out six or seven different pieces of lawn furniture to preserve their parking. You know, a lot of it is just the absence of common sense. And I know that seems to be an oxymoron in any kind of political debate. but that's what drives a lot of the complaints. I think if everyone just did dibs in front of their own house, we wouldn't have had the 900 complaints that we had the first weekend of the first snowstorm of this year. But because people took it to the extreme, people got upset and we had to act.
Well, I have to ask you, in the complaint department, given that I know the neighborhood and that the good people of the 15th Ward are, well, they're traditionalists and they're Catholic, did you see any Virgin Mary dibs with the blue Virgin Mary statue.
You know, the only ones that throw out the religious reliquaries as dibs are on the north side, I think.
That's with the Bernie Bros. Yeah, they don't believe in hell, and they're living in hell, but they don't believe it. They're going to go. I agree with you.
The hipsters might do that. We put out our old washing machines, our ironing board. You know, I saw a treadmill out there. You know, we do the things that we don't need anymore. You know, the hipsters are the ones that do the things that they want back and then get upset when I take it.
Right. The smart people only put out crap. That's absolutely true.
All right. Let's get off dibs now. Judge Dibs says no. You know, we're done with that. Let's move on to Yolanda Gate. Alderman, when Yolanda Gate or Tally Gate, whatever Jeff wants to say, whatever happened, when it happened, I remember seeing a tweet from Alderman Lopez. You were basically stunned. You said something like, I don't even know what to say about this. Yep. Where the chief of IED has her car. She was not driving, but her niece apparently was driving, and the niece and the repeated drug dealer, repeatedly convicted man on the west side, get pulled over, and he allegedly throws 84 packets of heroin out the window. And then the niece is not arrested. The car is not impounded. And IAD Chief Yolanda Talley keeps working while the arresting officers are put on ice in what's called, what is it, retraining or soft desk?
Soft desk duty, right. It's like a script from The Wire. I mean, holy cow.
I think it's more like that show Shameless.
So what do you think?
Well, let me just say unequivocally, John, as we've learned more about the situation, that not only is everything that you articulated true, but also the fact that this known repeat drug dealer was also the confidential informant that led to the botched Anjanette Young raid.
Right.
It's just mind-boggling that not a single disciplinary action has been taken against Chief Talley. What's further confounding this is the fact that, you know, the mayor, rather than say anything was wrong about that situation, blames the media for pursuing leaks in the department that brought this to the public's attention. And Superintendent Brown played the role of Colonel Klink of I know nothing.
when Sergeant Schultz.
trying to explain this away. The fact of the matter is that there is something seriously wrong with Chief Talley's ability to be a member of leadership within the department of police in the city of Chicago. 70 days ago, before that incident happened, you know, Brown said that she was an example of leadership, example of public safety. Right. And here she is giving her car to a niece to go cohort with a known drug dealer in the open air drug markets of the West Side. Not to mention, we've also learned that she got not one but two PPP loans from the federal government for some sort of business, which she didn't declare on her ethics statements that she's required to file annually with the city of Chicago. The question number two is, are you a owner, proprietor, or anyone who's received more than $1,000 in compensation from any other business outside the city of Chicago? And she answered no. Last year, the year before that, and the year before that. And yet somehow she managed to get a loan, which is based on income taxes, for $20,000+ each to reimburse herself for lost revenue because of the pandemic.
I have not been able to confirm that, but have you been able to? I've read about it in CWB, the only place you could go for real crime news in this town now.
And I want to say a shout out to CWB. And a lot of these, you know, these sites that have been cutting through the fog of media you know, there's a lot of blackouts going on in Chicago media. And I don't think that's something that I'm speaking out of turn and saying. And if it weren't for a lot of these other sites bringing this to the forefront and people like yourself, John, amplifying their message, most of Chicago wouldn't even know any of this was going on right now.
To John's question, have you been able to verify that the loan piece? Because that is, I mean, absolutely staggering.
I've asked a number of sources and they said, yes, it is hers.
It sounds like we need a city council investigation to make it public and get to the bottom.
Well, I'd say we should turn the matter over to COPA, but we also know that Lori's enablers are now the head of COPA as well. So I doubt we'll see any kind of action, although they'll probably take up the arresting officers for doing their job, because clearly, you know, they're being punished for holding Tally's niece and her drug dealing boyfriend to the same standard that we'd hold any criminal.
I think the last episode, we're two a week now, and the last episode of the Chicago Way, I called for, because Lori can't investigate herself, COPA can't investigate this. They already put the name of a John Doe informant out in the public domain. Yep. State's attorney Kim Fox can't investigate this. She's ethically challenged already on her own issues. Pritzker can't investigate it because he's too busy giving us our freedom and liberty from masks that he had after he lost to the Supreme Court. So the only other place is the feds. Do you agree?
The feds should be able to investigate it. If we had an inspector general in the city of Chicago, which Lori Lightfoot is nearly 75 days behind in appointing, they'd be able to investigate it. But I'm sure that's just mere coincidence. But we have to get the truth out there. And clearly, the mayor and her version of the truth are not what is really going on in this city at the moment.
Ray, what's going on in your ward on the southwest side with Governor Commodius Maximus having lost his battles with the Illinois Supreme Court and the appellate court and all the other courts, and masks are optional or are coming off in many cases in schools? How are your constituents dealing with it?
You know, my residents and more importantly, my businesses are ecstatic to be able to decide for themselves if they want to wear masks or not. You know, a large number of my residents are vaccinated. They know how to keep themselves safe and healthy, and they're happy to finally be able to go to restaurants and bars deciding for themselves. I was at a restaurant this morning and everyone just has a sense of relief being able to see each other's faces again. I think it's interesting that, you know, so many of these politicians are trying to take victory laps now for putting out the fires that they themselves started politically. Being told, you know,
that's the very Chicago.
It is. You know, we've seen the governor do it. We've seen Lori Lightfoot kind of fumble it when she tried to blame remote learning on
carjackings
for the carjackings, even though she's the one that threw all the kids into remote learning. And, you know, we see it with Arne Duncan, too.
The white shadow. What is the white shadow doing?
Well, Arne, you Duncan? Know, the white shadow works with, you know, those same street organizations that are otherwise known as gangs that are terrorizing our communities, and then turns around and tries to sell us that we need to spend more money buying off gang members and less money paying for police officers. You know, that's the same policy that he espoused at Chicago Cred. It's the same policy that his wingman, Susan Lee, pushed when she was deputy mayor of public safety in the city of Chicago. And it's the same kind of solution to the problem that they created that they're offering right now, as we see through some of the op-eds from David Axelrod and company talking about how crime is out of control, all the while still fueling money into the neighborhoods to keep the gang members who are not committed to ending that lifestyle empowered to being the middleman for bringing peace to the neighborhoods.
Do you wish that you had 1/10 of the positive spin media that the white shadow gets through David Axelrod and other connections?
Hell,
I mean, if you're attacked in the Tribune and elsewhere sometimes as a self-promoter when all you're doing is doing your job, and they let this guy who wants to cut police and give money to the social justice warriors on behalf of the disadvantaged youths who have guns, they let him write op-eds. Where's your op-ed, Ray?
Oh, I've got more. I don't need an op-ed. I can speak from my pulpit in the city council chamber, and I don't need a spin machine because I have the truth on my side. And people of Chicago resonate more with the truth than they do with Fuzzy Sweater 2.0.
Speaking of the chamber, Ray, how's the ward remap going? Are we going to get up to vote on this one as citizens, or will something get worked out?
I don't have any faith that my colleagues are going to be able to work something out anytime soon. Now, you know, we've seen stranger 11th hour miracles happen before in the city of Chicago. But the way that the political acrimony and racial divides are growing, I don't see any bridge happening anytime soon. And I have no problem with the voters of Chicago picking between the two maps that have been set forth. The coalition map, which is crafted by the Latino Caucus and several other non-members, including myself, is more reflective of Chicago's neighborhoods and actual data than the incumbent protection map drawn by Michael Casper and the Black Caucus. And you can see it in the complete lack of cohesion in some of those maps that look like squished squids over a plate of pasta than box wards that people like and prefer.
So Michael, we want our wards like it. We want our pizza, Ray, cut in squares.
Absolutely. Chicago style.
So Michael Casper, Mike Madigan's lawyer in the old days, is now helping them do the map.
He was hired by the Rules Committee to be the independent resource for Alderman.
So and the coalition map, how many Latino wards did they come up with?
I believe it is 16 African American, 16 majority white, and 15 majority Latino, with one majority Asian. And I believe the other one is 17 African American, 16 white, and I think just 14 Latino, with one Asian.
How does that work when you have Latinos increasing in population in the city, blacks leaving for Atlanta if they can because of the crappy schools and violence, and I guess the both sides agree that they could cut the daily ward, the 11th ward, in pieces and make a Asian alderman?
Pretty much. But, you know, the Black Caucus, basically what they did was that, you know, there's something called deviation. So we all assume, like Congress, that, you know, every district has to have equal numbers of people. And that's not the case for Chicago wards. You can be up by 5% or down by 5%. And what the Black Caucus did is that they took a ward, and let's say, for example, if the number was 50,000, because of that deviation, they could go down to 45,000 10 times in order to create a 10th ward that has barely enough as well. But what that does is, on the opposite end, that overloads other 10 wards to make up for the difference. And that is how their map has one more seat than legally defensible in terms of populated numbers in their map, as opposed to the coalition's map, which goes strictly by the numbers and tries to keep everyone as equal as possible.
I can't think of anything more Chicago way than having the entire city of Chicago fight it out over racial terms, you know, over between Latinos and blacks, with the media pretending not knowing how to actually deal with it head on, because it's an identity politics crash on the identity highway.
And you would think at least some point one of these media outlets would say, it's time for an independent commission to draw this and take it out of the hands of politicians. But as we've seen, they're not one to challenge that, because then that wouldn't sell newspapers. This is going to sell newspapers for months, seeing blacks and Latino politicians fight and use every kind of racial pandering to get this, get their respective maps approved. All the while, John, the white aldermen went and drew maps on both sides. So either way, they don't really care because they're going to be fine no matter what.
Right. Well, the one outcome of all this, it appears that you mentioned the 10th Ward. The 10th Ward alderman, Sadlowski Garza, or Garza Sadlowski. I used to know her father back in the day, working on the east side in South Chicago. Eddie, I think they're related. That's not Zeus. That's Alderman Lopez.
That's dog. My dog.
What happened? Now she's given up on Lori Lightfoot. What's going on with that?
Well, look, after you throw Sue under the bus half a dozen times, after you conspire with the lefties and the environmental justice warriors while telling the local alderman you're going to support a business that invested $85 million into your community, you know, you can only two-time people so long before they're finally snapped. And Sue snapped, rightfully so, in defense of her neighborhood. You know, Sue's in a tough spot. She's got to compete not only with Cook County, but she's got to compete also with Indiana. And for her to be able to maintain and create jobs in the city of Chicago, she has to put her blood, sweat, and tears into everything she does. And she did. And when you find out that someone like Lori Lightfoot is patting you on the back saying, don't worry, I'm going to support you, we're going to make this work, while turning around and feeding your opposition the information they need to undermine you, I wouldn't support that person as mayor. I wouldn't support that person for dog catcher. And that's exactly where Sue's at. Sue is standing up for her people. And I think realizing, as many of my colleagues are, that Lori Lightfoot clearly has no coattails going into 2023, there's no reason to stand up and defend her anymore.
I just want to take this opportunity. I saw, and maybe it'll shock some people, but I saw either tweet or was it some in the news where Lori is now has ordered her people not to talk to the Tribune reporter, Greg Pratt, the City Hall reporter. I'd covered City Hall for years. He's there now. And Greg, for his, even though we don't agree on whether or not I deserve to be published, I do want to give him props because he was saying access is not everything for a reporter. And I agree. We're not sports reporters where we need the general manager to let us talk to the running back. Ideas also can create stories and help you create stories. What do you think of this feud, though, Ray?
I think I almost passed out when you said you agree with Greg Pratt.
Well, you know, he deserves it. You know, look.
But you're right. And you're both right that we reporters, news reporters, let me correct myself, news reporters don't exist by being spoon-fed by those that they're covering. I know I could put out a press release, but that doesn't mean a reporter is going to just regurgitate it and print it. You're going to do some investigation. You're going to do some deeper dives into what I'm saying. And right. There might be times where you don't even go off of what I say. You might,
right.
You might investigate a story or look up something about me without me asking you to do it. Right. That's your job. As a
we're not stenographers, Ray.
Right.
Too many people.
Right.
Too many people have played that City Hall reporter role as a stenographer. A lot of them on the radio, I hate to say. But
I think definitely Lori Lightfoot thinks that is your job as an extension of her press corps.
Right.
To just repeat and rehash. And that's not how it works. I know that there are reporters who have told me that they have to limit how much they interview me because the mayor's press team keeps track of who gets what airtime. And if somebody's being a little too generous with people that the fifth floor doesn't like, then they won't be allowed in the next press meeting or Zoom call with the mayor. You know, that's not how, you know, free press works.
No,
it's something that, you know, Lori Putin Lightfoot might be okay. But this isn't communist Chicago. This is
not Chicago. Yet.
Oh, yeah. So,
well, we have those socialist Democrats gaining power. But, yeah, I agree. And as far as Greg goes, yes, we might disagree. We do disagree clearly on many things. Yeah. But in terms of access to reporters, if Lori wants to cut that off, enjoy yourself, Lori, because I've got a hand. My fingers are spread and I'm saying the word nah right there to the microphone. Because it's stupid. I mean, it's really, you're going into a election campaign and you're
pissing off all the reporters. Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. And she's barely coming out ahead on her raising of money for her campaign. I mean, geez, talk about shooting your little foot.
Ba-dum-bum. I think what she's never grasped is that if you don't like the story people are writing about you, make better stories. Do something better for them to write about you than the negative things that people know that you're already doing. And what she likes to manipulate is the fact that she thinks she can control the narrative everywhere she goes. She's still living as if we're in that Zoom bubble universe from when she shut the entire city down 2 years ago, where she could control everything. And thankfully, those days are coming to an end. The light is finally starting to come in, and we don't like what we're seeing, what we've been sleeping with the past 2 years.
Well, can you say anything nice about the mayor just because we want to be, you know, positive in one way or another?
I don't want to be positive.
I'll be positive. I do. I'll be positive that I hope she's enjoyed her one term as mayor. And I would like to thank her for her singular term of service.
There you go.
That's as positive as it's going to be.
Yeah, you tried.
I don't think Ray Lopez is alone in thinking among the political class in Chicago is thinking she's a one-termer, because I knew it when she lied to me about, I'll never support Kim Fox, John. Don't worry about it. And then what did she do, Ray?
Yep, re-election, full support.
And you know what that meant? I talked to a Democrat, longtime Democrat, about what that meant with Lori Lightfoot endorsing Kim Fox and Kim Fox getting re-elected with all the violence going on. I said, what does this mean? He turned and said, what does it mean? It means get the out. And I think I've never heard a more honest assessment.
Well, clearly the mayor doesn't realize that in politics, your word is your bond. And all you have is the reputation you create. And sadly, the reputation she has created, as expressed so eloquently by my colleague from the 10th Ward, is that she is someone who doesn't know how to do anything but piss off everyone. And that's not what we need as a mayor.
Angry and inept is her tagline, in my opinion.
Ray, everybody's getting a lot of pub on like mayoral exploration. But as we close out the Chicago Way, I want to ask, what's the Ray Lopez for mayor thing going? How's that going?
Well, I know everyone and their brother is waiting to see who's jumping in. I think it's very telling that a vast majority of the city of Chicago has made one decision already, and that is that they don't want a second term of Lori Lightfoot. But as the saying goes, you can't beat someone with no one. So I am evaluating my options. First and foremost, I have to take care of my ward and my residents. But I definitely know that Chicago needs and deserves better. Chicago doesn't need any more pandering politicians just saying what needs to be said. Chicago needs a mayor that's going to put the truth out there, good, bad, or ugly, so that you could finally put the city back on track. Whether that's me or not, I'll let you know soon.
Ray Lopez on the Chicago Way, alderman of the 15th Ward, basically a jihadist against dibs, but when dibs are wrong, they're wrong. Thanks for being here, Ray.
Pleasure.
As we were taping this episode of the Chicago Way podcast, news broke. And now you all know that Arnie Duncan, the White Shadow, favorite candidate of David Axelrod and some of the Daily Crew, is not running for mayor. You'll hear Ray Lopez and I and Jeff Carlin discussed part of the White Shadows appeal on this edition of the Chicago Way, but he's no longer running. No longer running for mayor. I guess, what does that mean for Paul Vallis? We'll have to look into this and find out more about it and explore it on the next edition of the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.
I know nothing.